Appropriations Committee to order. Is there a quorum?
Good morning. Yes, we have a quorum.
Okay. First item before us is consent calendar.
So moved. Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next is item number three on the regional program. This is a public hearing. My name is Federal Glover, Chair of the Program the Allocation Committee for MTC. I would like to begin the public hearing on the proposed amendment to the Regional Measure 2 program. The purpose of the hearing is to receive comments on the proposed funding changes for the Regional Measure 2 program, which was released for public review on March 19th. Formal adoption of the Regional Measure 2 program amendment will be considered by the Commission at its May 28th meeting, 2014. Note that the public hearing period started March 19th and closes on April 23rd. Written comments must be received by MTC no later than 4 p.m. on April 23rd in order to be considered. All comments will be received today. Written comments can be submitted to MTC Public Information Office by fax, email, or in person, or by regular mail. If you have any written comments now, please submit your comments to Kimberly Hughes, Ward Committee Secretary. This time we will ask MTC staff to provide an overview of the proposed amendments to the Regional Measure 2 program.
Thank you, Commissioner Glover. My name is Kenneth Follin with MTC staff, and as Commissioner Glover stated, this is not an action item, but it's to receive public comments on the RM2 public hearing as part of the RM2 strategic delivery plan that has come before this committee in February as well as in March. We would note that there is a court reporter recording the information so that we have a transcript. And the hearing is consistent with the Streets and Highways Code 3914F, and it's part of the process for reassigning funds within the RM2 program. The first step was to confer with sponsors. This is the second step of holding a public hearing, and then finally after the public hearing in May, the Commission may choose to hold a vote to reassign funds. So we have received some comments to date, and we mailed the packet out last Wednesday, and the comments that were received by then are within the letters received by then are within the packet. You also have in front of you this orange packet of letters that were received, and we will kind of summarize all of the comments that we receive here and through April 23rd and present that to you at your May meeting. So with that, I would hand it back to you, Commissioner Glover, to proceed with the comments.
Okay, thank you. We do have a number of comments today. Is there any comments from commissioners prior to going to public comment? Okay, seeing that, our first speaker will be Tim Pitzker. He will be followed by Mike.
Hi, my name is Tim Pitzker. I live in Fremont. I am in support of the amendment, specifically referring to the Dumbarton Rail Corridor project, the transfer of that money to other projects. I am a retired deputy district attorney out of Santa Clara County, and for years I had to commute over the Dumbarton Ridge to Palo Alto to get to the Palo Alto courts. There is no backlog on the Dumbarton Bridge that would warrant the costs of this project. And the costs now are estimated around $800 million. It's easily going to go over $1 billion just to get a couple thousand people off of the bridge. It just isn't worth the cost. I'm on the citizen advisory panel. My comments here are my personal comments, not the views of the panel as a whole. I got on the CAP to be able to keep up with the project so that I would know what was going on as the project has progressed. I can tell you right now the EIR is dead on arrival. I don't have time to go into all the issues right now, but that's my opinion. It's going nowhere. I've already lined up a law firm that will attack it should it go public. Hopefully, it won't get that far. But the biggest problem with this project is that there isn't a purchase agreement for the right-of-way. The right-of-way from Union City over to the Shin Connection in Fremont. The project starts in Union City and goes over the bay. You need that right-of-way. There is no purchase agreement. The Union Pacific Railroad has never negotiated in good faith to sell that project. And in the few negotiations that they participated in, they want several hundred million dollars worth of concessions to give up the right-of-way. And this project has been around since the 1990s. You would have thought that getting a contract to purchase the right-of-way would have been the number one priority.
Thank you.
In any event, this project isn't going anywhere, and I support the transfer of the money. One last comment.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Peter Mike will be followed by Jim Bigelow.
Good morning. My name is Peter Michael Davinsky. I live on Posada Way in Fremont, California, and I am reading from a submission I made via email to the record, and I didn't see it in the record this morning. I'll make sure it gets handed in. I support the proposals regarding the redirection of funds from East to West Bay commuter rail service over the Dunbarton Bridge. I call that the Dunbarton Rail Project. My position supporting certain funding redirection and steps described in the resolution are my own. However, I have been a member of the Citizens Advisory Panel to the project since its inception in 2007, and I've followed it since around 2005. In particular, I agree fully with the proposed redirection of available project funds from DRC to the regional bus service and Caltrain electrification. And the removal of the project conditions, the repayment of $91 million by Alameda County for redirection of funds to the Warm Springs BART extension project, which occurred in early 2009. My support for the proposals is based on the following reasons. The project never did have sufficient funding support to seriously consider it. While the resolution states that it had a $300 million funding shortfall, my experience and the information provided during my participation on the CAP shows that it was more like $500 million shortfall. Also, throughout the time period of the environmental assessment and data gathering to support the project's environmental report, the estimated ridership never rose to a level sufficient to consider it viable transportation project. During a meeting in 2009 of the CAP, the members were advised that the FTA has a policy of not releasing an EIR/EIS if a project is not adequately funded. The DRC is severely underfunded, and the project ridership projections do not support it. And in my write-up that I submitted, I have the sign-off by representatives of four other neighborhoods in Fremont.
Thank you.
I'm not coming to the table alone.
Okay.
Jim Bigelow, you all know what this is. I'm from the Redwood City, San Mateo County Chamber and the Menlo Chamber. I got this for the Dumbarton Rail Project for a new rail connection across the middle of the bay 10 years ago. I'm still optimistic. It's a good project. We have a new EIR that I'm sure will show that this project is viable. We are working with the Facebook, Google, Oracle, Stanford University. And in 2015, we want to come back with a new energized business group and political will to start bringing this project back to life. I do support, or we do support, the forgiveness of the $91 million. Scott Haggerty said that was good, and that he will remember the Dumbarton Rail on our future discussions. Also, the 34.7 for the Dumbarton bus replacement and expansion, possibly to Redwood City, is a great idea. $20 million to Caltrain is a great idea. This money that's been setting, going to work, giving transportation measures to the public is an important thing. But we will be back to ask for more consideration and get our partners back together on this project. We're going to wait until after Caltrain's draft EIR is done before we come back. Finally, if you go over to the Highway 101 between University and Marsh Road between 4 and 7 o'clock at night, it's an absolute nightmare of the traffic trying to get to the East Bay for people in their homes. And it's delaying the white buses and cars and all kinds of people getting to work locations or leaving. So there is a lot of traffic. Thank you. And let's think about this and keep it going in the future. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Roland Lira. And he will be followed by David Schoenberg.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is Roland LeBron. I come from San Jose. I'd like to touch on the Dumbarton Rail and Caltrain electrification. On the Dumbarton Rail, I would like the budget left at $300 million, including the RM2 funding, until we see a project that makes sense, namely something other than an $800 million boondoggle with a single 25-mile track and a couple of string bridges that cannot possibly ever be electrified. So moving forward, I'm opposed to moving any funding out of DBR project until we identify a transit agency capable of delivering this project in phases, starting with a rail connection between Redwood City and Facebook, including a new Caltrain station in Menlo Park and Google buses providing connections to Google campus. With regards to Caltrain electrification, I'm on record as being one of the many advocates for this project. However, I've since learned that the cast of characters running the show are the very same people responsible for the Dumbarton Rail fiasco. And it is unclear how we could expect a different result from the same people. So I applaud the VTA and the SFMTA's refusal to match the $20 million in RM2 funds. In closing, I'm opposed to moving any more funding to this electrification project until the Caltrain board appoints an entity capable of delivering this project sooner and preferably $500 million less than the current budget. Thank you.
Thank you. David Schoenberg.
David Schoenbrunn, Transdef. The proposed action is to kill the Dumbarton Rail Project. Dumbarton was promised to the voters as a new Transbay commuter rail crossing south of the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge. It is the only new Transbay crossing in RM2. That would make it especially offensive to voters if you were to kill it. You don't want to create a public that distrusts you when you're clearly going to be going before the public in the future for further funding. There are a few reasons why the proposed action would be short-sighted. Traffic on 101 is bad. My sources tell me that the traffic projections that led to initiating the project are now actual counts. The Dumbarton Rail Bridge opens up possibilities considerably beyond the current Dumbarton Rail Corridor project. Staff is considering it only through the narrow lens of the DRC. They miss the big picture. On a longer-term note, BART's Transbay tube is at capacity. A new tube would cost tens of billions of dollars. Resources like that are really hard to come by. A new crossing at Dumbarton could take some of that load. There's a significant possibility that the high-speed rail project will be dead by summer. Speaking as a member of the opposing legal team, the authorities' chances of overturning the three lower court rulings are not good. Chances of having the legislature approve cap-and-trade funds to keep the project alive are not good either, as the project will generate more GHGs rather than reduce them. That said, there's clearly no urgency to move the $20 million to Caltrain or to remove the payback provision to the $91 million loan to Actia. Why not let these things sit for a couple months, let the high-speed rail debacle resolve itself, and study the possibility of unloading the Transbay tube? Thank you.
Thank you. Our next speaker is Richard Hagman, followed by Anna.
Thank you, Chair. Richard Hackman, City of Palo Alto, and I brought a letter for you today on this issue that I've left copies with the clerk if you care to have them distributed now. On behalf of the City of Palo Alto, we're coming before you today to provide preliminary input on the proposed RM2 funding allocations. The Palo Alto City Council will provide additional direction to staff on this matter at their April 21st meeting, but in order to provide input at the committee level, we prepared some preliminary remarks for you today. First, the City of Palo Alto would like to say that we support the proposed improvements to Dunbarton Express service. East-West Transit is a challenge in our region, and a reliable and improved Dunbarton Express service helps address that. Also, the City of Palo Alto supports the $20 million allocation to Caltrain electrification. With over 52,000 weekday riders, an improved modernized Caltrain is critical to the peninsula's overall transit strategy. Because East-West Transit and Caltrain improvements are critically important to our regional transit system, I expect that my City Council will want you to reconsider the proposal to remove the repayment condition associated with the $91 million BART Warm Springs extension loan. If that does not happen, the City will want to ensure that at least a portion of the loan not be forgiven to allow for further planning. Partial forgiveness of the loan will provide the MTC flexibility going forward and the opportunity to reevaluate our important commuter rail needs in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is Edna. I think that's Friends of...
That would be Caltrain. Adina Levin, okay. Friends of Caltrain. I apologize for my handwriting. Good morning, commissioners. And also speaking about the Dumbarton corridor, and given the fact that the rail project isn't moving forward at this time, we support the reallocation of the $14.7 million to the express bus service, which has strong and growing ridership, and also the reallocation of $20 million towards Caltrain electrification. And in fact, as the project is not moving forward at this time, taking some of the money and having it be used for the connecting projects east and west, the thing that is puzzling to us is why do we have $20 million going west and $91 million going east. So what we would recommend is, given that there's growing need on the corridor and, as Jim Bigelow mentioned, strong corporate support for additional transit on the corridor, would it be possible to do 20 and 20 now and then hold off and see if there are more investments to build ridership on the corridor? Palo Alto is thinking about running buses from Fremont over to Palo Alto. There are going to be more ideas coming up to beef up that growing traffic need. I've heard that, you know, for Caltrain, $20 million now is better than $90 million in 2019. But that's a heck of an interest rate. So I think if money is being validly split up east and west, make that more even and hold off on at least some of it for better service on the corridor. Thank you.
Thank you. Our final speaker is Richard Hedge. If there are other speakers, if you would please fill out a speaker card.
Good morning. Thanks for calling me and allowing me to speak. I am not in opposition to this issue. Actually, I thought at the time and was here when the $90 million was given to BART that we probably would not get it back because it's so hard to get money. I like the idea of beefing up the bus transit if, in fact, we're not going to get the rail in any immediate. But I would like to make one recommendation. Oh, and then just to further state that I completely support Jim Bigelow's remarks. He's really been on top of this since the very beginning. But just to one additional comment. The RM2 money was for all Transbay transit. And the M line, which runs across the San Mateo Bridge, has been consistently reduced in service. And when you start reducing service, it's a foregone conclusion that it will eventually disappear. But AC Transit is receiving a large subsidy for that. And I just have to tell you, I've already talked to Steve about it once before, the service was horrible in the afternoon. I actually had to check the GPS to make sure the bus was coming, because I often would go by BART to the Hayward station to take the M bus, and it's not showing up the rest of the afternoon because they operate split shifts. And it seems that if drivers don't show up, they just don't put it on that service. It's not one of their services, really. So I would suggest that we beef that service up as well with the money, because the, according to the MTC maps, that area it services is one of the largest growing area of jobs in the region. And we also need to do some work with Sony, who's moved into Bridgepoint, with Visa, who I've met with Marshall Loring once, trying to encourage them to beef up that service. They run their own buses to the city anyway. So we have some work to do there, but that's an integral line serving at one time Oracle as well. So thank you. Consider that with this money. It's very important to the Mid-Peninsula.
Thank you. That was my last speaker card. Is there anyone else wishing to address the committee? Okay. Seeing that, at this time we will close the public hearing. However, the public comment period will still be open until 4 p.m. on April 23rd, and MTC will continue to accept written comments until that time. Okay. I'll bring this back to the body. Is there any action before us?
Commissioner, this is just a public hearing, and it will be brought back to this committee in May with all of the comments, responses to comments, and a staff recommendation.
Thank you.
Mr. Glover, I wonder if I could just make a comment.
Oh, yes.
I just want to make a comment. First, I want to thank Jim Bigelow and Rich Hedges, and actually all the speakers. I think it's important that we do get a lot of input, but I think what we need to remember, and obviously I'm very supportive of the Dumbarton Rail, the problem is the timing isn't right. And it's sometimes you have to, as a regional body, we have to take things up at different times. And this body has been very generous to Caltrain. They gave us $500 million in federal funds just recently so we could do the Caltrain modernization. We're looking at another $20 million here. And if you recall, this body also saved Caltrain with some operating costs for over 2 years so that we didn't have to cut the number of trains in half. So I do wish that those that think we shouldn't give up the $91 million, that's to get another project finished. And it's all about mobility in the region, not just our area or someone else's area. I will work with Jim and others on the Dumbarton as we continue on. There will be a time when that will be appropriate, that we look towards monies. I understand Mr. Haggerty indicated he'd be willing to help as well. And it's always a matter of timing. And when that time comes, I think we'll all be there. The time is not right for the Dumbarton, but we are doing some more express buses and expanding that. So we're trying to make sure we do the best we can with what we have. And so I know we'll get more public hearing, and people may or may not change their minds, but I do want people to remember that this body has done a lot for Caltrain and for the future electrification. So I just want us to remember about to take a look at the whole region as we're doing this. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Weiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I appreciate Commissioner Tissier's remarks. And I'm first of all, extremely supportive of the funding here for Caltrain. And I look forward to continuing to partner as a region to make sure that we dramatically expand Caltrain's, not just electrify, but expand its capacity. I mean, it is so over capacity at this point, and it's not just about serving the peninsula. We know that this is really the spine of the entire West Bay in terms of connecting San Francisco to the peninsula, to the South Bay. And We need more capacity on the system. So I know I am extremely supportive of making sure we move Caltrain in the right direction. And I also know, look forward to partnering together to make sure we can move forward with potential plans around development, around 4th and King, on the current rail yards to generate probably even more funds for Caltrain and to make sure that we get the downtown extension built, because that is to Caltrain's benefit and to the entire region's benefit. Thanks.
Commissioner Bates.
Thank you. Tom Bates, representing Alameda County Cities. I also agree with the last speaker that this is extremely important to electrify Caltrains. I think this is one of the most important projects, as far as I'm concerned, to make a major change in climate change and be able to do something positive to increase the opportunity for have a cleaner source of fuel. The other thing is I want to mention is that the increased service that will be on the Dunbarton through AC Transit, it's my understanding that those will be new buses, and those buses will have opportunities to have Wi-Fi, and I think, you know, upgrading the service, upgrading the opportunity will mean that the ridership will, in fact, continue to grow, and I think it's the right way to go. So I'm happy to see what happens in Maine.
Okay, any other commissioner's comment? Commissioner Hagedy?
Yeah, my comment, Mr. Chair, is very quick. I just wanted to thank my colleague, Commissioner Tissier, for her comments. I think it was well said, and I couldn't add anything to that.
Okay.
One last.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you. And I just also want to thank the staff for the work. I know it's hard on timing, that I especially am supportive of the AC Transit augmentation. As you know, the BRT is about to start commencing, and that in my state of the city, I talked about Oakland's second 10K, and most of that will be along transportation corridors like International Boulevard, where the BRT is going. So we're matching housing with transportation as closely as we can. That also overlaps with ABAG's priority development zones and the affordable housing that we'll be looking at. So I hope that people look at those corridors. We're investing in finishing up smart transportation. The city will be trying to zone and build as much density along these corridors as possible, and that in general should help us overall for our greenhouse gases. Thank you.
Okay, again, the public hearing is now closed. However, the public comment period will still remain open until 4 p.m. April 23rd, and MTC will continue to accept those comments until then. We'll now move to our next item on the agenda, which is under state projects. This is Cycle 1 Regional Competitive Active Transportation Programs Guideline. This will be presented to us under Resolution 4132, and Kenneth will be presenting.
Thank you, Commissioners, Chair. The item before you is Resolution 4132, which establishes the guidelines for MTC's Regional Competitive ATP Program. The state legislature created the Active Transportation Program last year. MTC is responsible for programming the regional share of the ATP, which totals about $30 million over the next two fiscal years. MTC's guidelines for the ATP are based on the statewide ATP guidelines, which were adopted by the California Transportation Commission in March. MTC guidelines differ in four main points from the statewide guidelines. These changes are, number one, to add an evaluation criteria to recognize regional priorities. Number two is to use MTC's communities of concern definition for the disadvantaged communities in order to meet the 25% disadvantaged communities goal. Number three is to waive local match requirements if pre-construction is funded locally. And number four is to adopt a backup contingency list of projects. MTC's draft guidelines have been presented to numerous working groups, the Partnership Technical Advisor Committee, and multiple counties. We would submit the draft, the guidelines, to the California Transportation Commission for approval, and then release the call for projects for the regional ATP on May 21st. And applications for the regional ATP are due on July 24th of this year. Staff recommends, therefore, referring a resolution 4132 to the full commission for approval. Happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you. Questions, comment? Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
We have the motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you, Kim. Thank you. Next up under our federal program, the item is the Federal Surface Transportation Program, Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Improvement, Cycle 1 and 2 Program Revisions, MTC Resolution Number 3925 Revised and 4035 Revised. And this will be presented by Ursula.
Good morning, Commissioners. Ursula Vogler, MTC staff. I'm here with Sean Coe to request your approval of our Cycle 2 climate program. One of the programs we are recommending, which Sean will cover in more detail, is the continuation and expansion of Bay Area Bike Share. First, let me provide a bit of background. MTC's Climate Initiatives Program, created by the Commission in December 2009, was outlined in Plan Bay Area as a key strategy to meet our greenhouse gas emission reduction goals. The strategies outlined here are responsible for 6.3% per capita reduction by the year 2035. The program's goal is to test innovative strategies for their ability to reduce transportation-related greenhouse gas emissions. We kicked off the $80 million Cycle 1 program in 2010. We funded 17 grants in four main areas: electric vehicles, transportation demand management, grants focused on youth and their families, and four other grants we put into the miscellaneous category. We also funded a public outreach and education program, a regional Safe Routes to School program, an extensive program evaluation element, and dedicated funds for SFGO and Eastern Solano activities. While these projects are currently in progress and they have taken longer than anticipated to implement, we are starting to see some initial results. I'm going to review a few of the standouts. We funded four grants focused on electric vehicles, where we increased EVs in public sector fleets, car sharing fleets, and San Francisco's taxi fleet. We also funded EVs in charging infrastructure in a Native American tribe in Sonoma County. These grants got off to a slow start because of Buy America restrictions, but are on track now and are currently being implemented. In addition, the Air District manages a number of clean vehicle grant programs, and we will be integrating our efforts more moving forward. We funded three transportation demand management grants that focus on a variety of transportation alternatives strategies in the city of Berkeley, Redwood City, and San Francisco. The strategies include car sharing, vanpooling and shuttles, targeted ride sharing, and parking pricing. Initial results from these three pilots indicate that these strategies have directly reduced single occupancy vehicle trips and resulted in innovative public-private partnerships. Bay Area Bike Share is operational and has seen success in its first 7 months. Additional funds were added to this program last May to support expansion to 1,000 bikes and 100 stations. The current system is located in San Francisco, San Jose, Redwood City, Palo Alto, and Mountain View. Sean will go into more detail about bike share in a minute. Here's the status of other climate projects. We're funding two smart driving pilots that test in-vehicle devices for their impact on fuel economy. As a reminder, smart driving behavior includes vehicle selection and maintenance, route selection, vehicle load, and less aggressive acceleration, among others. The first pilot's results are due within the month. We're also launching an electric vehicle ride and drive campaign called Experience Electric that will allow the public to test a variety of EVs at workplaces and local events around the Bay Area. Our formal launch will take place next month in San Francisco, but we are actually providing a sneak peek at the Earth Expo today at Frank Ogawa Plaza across town. There's a flyer on your, well, at your desk in hopes you can attend, and I'll get in touch about the launch in May. Finally, we're partnering with the Air District on the Spare the Air Youth Program, a $3 million four-year program that tests elements on youth and their families for their ability to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. We're testing seven pilots that include bike and transit education and encouragement, a mobile museum exhibit, and a Bay Area-wide bike mobile. Staff will return to the Commission to present a full evaluation of all Cycle One activities this fall. For today's action, we're requesting approval to direct $17.1 million in congestion mitigation and air quality funds to advance the initial successes of Cycle One in five categories as summarized on this slide. Please note the Air District will be bringing their recommendation to provide $6 million in TFCA funds for EVs to their board by June. Here's a breakdown of the projects we're recommending. We're recommending $8.7 million in Cycle 1 and 2 funds to maintain and expand bike share. Currently, the bike share pilot program is managed by the Air District, and the EV projects are managed by MTC. As we conclude these grants, MTC and Air District staff recommend that each agency continue to contribute funding to program expansion and will jointly oversee implementation of the programs. However, the Air District will take the lead role in delivering expansion of EV charging infrastructure and accelerate the market for EVs. MTC would take the lead to operate and expand the Bay Area Bike Share program. For bike share, we recommend expansion to Oakland, Berkeley, and Emeryville locations. Other locations will be studied for potential expansion. We're also recommending funding operations for Phase 1 cities and investing in marketing and sponsorship. Given our initial success with our Cycle 1 grants, we are also recommending $2 million to expand car sharing to suburban and business park locations and increase EVs and car sharing fleets. We are recommending $6 million for transportation demand management strategies, including parking pricing, car sharing, van pools and shuttles, and targeted ride sharing in up to five jurisdictions around the Bay Area. The recommended amount is based on funding four to five projects at the Cycle 1 funding levels. We're also recommending dedicating $400,000 to educate employers on the SB 1339 ordinance, which requires employers with over 50 staff to provide transportation alternatives to their employees. The Commission approved Resolution 4134 last month to support the implementation of the ordinance. All of these strategies are outlined in Plan Bay Area, and we'll move us closer to meeting our greenhouse gas emission reduction goals. So now I'm going to turn it over to Sean, who will go into more depth about Bay Area Bike Share.
Great. Thanks, Ursula. My name is Sean Coe in MTC's planning section. Since the Air District launched the bike share system in August of last year, the system has seen 171,000 trips with over 21,000 members throughout the cities of San Francisco, San Jose, Mountain View, Palo Alto, and Redwood City. More detail on the system performance is provided in Attachment B. There's been much interest to add bikes and stations in existing pilot communities and expand to new jurisdictions. One of the lessons learned in implementing the program is that local system planning is important to a successful system. While San Francisco has a majority of the bikes in the system, they also have a majority of the trips, which can be attributed in part to their dedicated staffing to the program. Locations with lower ridership numbers will need to be examined to determine how the bike share system can be tuned to maximize ridership within their communities. Redwood City, for example, is in the process of using some of their leftover grant money to determine where stations may be relocated to increase usage. All of the partners agree that there were not sufficient funds for marketing in the pilot program, so we will work with the partners on a long-term marketing strategy. Many of the bike share systems in operation around the country have offset their operations and maintenance costs with private sponsorships and grants, and opportunities will be explored for public-private partnerships here in the Bay Area. While the current program contract with Alta Bike Share, the operator of the program, expires in August of 2014, there are opportunities to renew and expand it for additional years. As Ursula mentioned, MTC and the Air District staff will work to migrate the program management from the Air District to MTC over the next several months. We will establish a mechanism for joint oversight of the program's development and implementation for MTC and the Air District boards concurrence. We'll conduct a review of current Air District and current operator Alta Bike Share contract and determine timing and conditions for contract assignment with recommendations to both MTC and Air District boards. In conjunction with our partners, MTC will develop a financial and operations and maintenance plan for current and future locations. Based on an analysis of suitable locations, staff recommends an expansion in the Oakland, Emeryville, Berkeley corridor with stations located at Capitol Corridor, BART, and UC Berkeley. Staff will be recommending a business model with regional and local agency roles, including financial and local staffing responsibilities. And potential models could include a nonprofit system, agency-run system, or a public-private partnership. Regional funding levels for the existing and future system will include revenue estimates from user fees, sponsorships, and grants. And we will evaluate the sponsorship potential of the system both at the regional and local levels. And the Air District and MTC will work on the best way to market and promote the system. Additionally, in the pilot cities, staff will work with the partner agencies to evaluate ridership potential and improvement plans for the current system. Therefore, staff recommends that the climate program with $17.1 million in federal funds be referred to the full commission for approval. And we also recommend that staff be directed to apply to the statewide active transportation program to augment funding available for the Bay Area Bike Share program. That concludes my presentation, and we'd be happy to take questions at this time.
Thank you. Commissioners, questions or comments? Commissioner Wiener.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the presentation. First of all, I'm really glad that there's going to be more investment in car sharing, as we saw in the paper this morning. MTA is moving forward with a very aggressive on-street, about 1,000 on-street car sharing parking spots, which is phenomenal, and we need more of that. The more car sharing, the better. I think every car share takes like 10 cars off the road or whatever the studies have shown. It's great. But I have some questions about the bike share program. So, and I'll say just right out of the gate, I'm incredibly supportive of the expansion to the East Bay and to this allocation. And I wish that the East Bay had been part of the original pilot as well, but it's better late than never. So I think it's phenomenal that it's going to expand to the East Bay. But I guess there are two questions. One is in terms of making sure that we're continuing to build out in the pilot cities, I wanted to get your thoughts about that. So when we look at the numbers, and I'll say that it's been incredibly popular in San Francisco, and the bikes are used, and people are clamoring for it to go beyond the core where it started, and I know we're going to work on that. But when San Francisco has about half of the bikes and the half of the stations, and 90% of the total trips. All the other cities all have very significantly lower percentage of trips than the percentage of bikes. It's not surprising. San Francisco is a very, very bike-heavy city, so it's not a criticism of other cities, and it's not an argument that we shouldn't be investing in those cities. We should be want to increase biking everywhere. But we know that there are some areas, and I suspect that Oakland and Berkeley are probably going to be very similar to San Francisco in terms of the explosive success. And what I want to get your thoughts on is understanding that we want the whole region to have access to bike share, and I very much support that. At the same time, we want to make sure that we're not sort of diluting so much that in those parts of the Bay Area that we know it has been and will be explosively successful, particularly San Francisco, Oakland, and I think Berkeley will fall in that category as well, making sure that we are having enough concentration in those cities to ensure their long-term success. And I know that we're going to have some local responsibility and we're focused on that, but how can we make sure that we don't, just sort of stop in San Francisco, for example, or stop with the first phase that we're doing in Oakland, and that we keep focusing on expanding in those high success cities?
Well, as One of the recommendations that, we're asking for is that we sort of look at the existing system and, you know, potential for new expansion. Part of that, looking at that, is determine where those locations, as you mentioned, are being heavily used. Density is key to the system, and we'll be working with MTA staff as well as Berkeley and Oakland staff to look at locations to add additional bikes. We certainly don't want to spread it out in the region where it doesn't make sense, and it's proven in San Francisco with a very dense network has been, you know, in part the key to their success. So part of the recommendation is that we look for other funds through the state active transportation program, and some of that money can be used for planning as well as capital funds. So we'll be working with our partner agencies to look at funding for both expansion and for advanced planning.
Okay, I appreciate that. I just think it's incredibly important. And then the second question, I know some of the advocates have raised the issue of as we shift responsibility over to MTC, making sure that MTC has adequate staffing capacity to be able to run the program. And so I guess the question is, what is the commitment in terms of, you know, making sure that we have adequate resources on this end?
Commissioner, I think you'll be seeing something about that in the budget that will be coming before the board later in the year. So we're mindful of that question, and we do not want to just hand this off to somebody who's already got a full-time job. I also think we're probably not doing justice to what we're trying to do with the Air District here, because what we've been doing for some time now is partnering on two activities. One is bike share, the other is electric vehicles. And what we've agreed to do is to try to play to each other's strengths a little bit better. And in my opinion, and I think Jack Broadbent agrees, MTC's been doing a little bit too much with EVs, and maybe the reverse is true with the Air District on bikes. And so given our strengths, what we're really looking toward is joint management of both programs, but with the respective agency taking the lead where it has, I think, the best expertise and the best matchup of skills. And so that's what's really involved here. It's not like they're handing the ball off to us and we're handing the ball off to them and we'll never see each other again. We're really talking about a partnership that I think better realigns the respective strengths of the two organizations. But we are mindful, and I'm sure they are as well, that if we're going to do more on bike share and they're going to do more on EV, we need to have the people to do it.
Yeah, and I think that the shift on both subjects, I think, actually makes a lot of sense. I'm supportive of it, and just want to make sure that we're... I think this is absolutely one of the most exciting things that's happened in transportation in the Bay Area in the last few years, and just want to make sure it's as successful as it can be.
Thank you. I'm not going to reserve, actually, time for after the speakers, but I do want to say that since I've been on the board, one of the things I've been most concerned about is making sure that we build out our bike capacity on the East Bay. That includes bike sharing, but I think it also includes, I see Bob Rayburn here from the BART board, it includes better BART bike parking now that they are allowing people on the train. Maybe that's a little less needed, but I actually think that safe bike parking will reduce a lot of cars. And so that's we're doing a model that's a little beyond bike sharing that will include bike parking at BART stations to encourage more riders to bike to BART and then take the train and then coming back and finding their bike still there. But what my staff is probably going to testify to and what we asked for last year and I still don't think that we've gotten is Mayor Bates and I are on the East Bay Corridor, and one of our priorities was to have bike lane planning for the East Bay Corridor, where we think that's where the explosive growth will be, because we're pretty contiguous, we're pretty flat, and we have cities that are just right next to each other. And so I want to make sure that we don't just get staff that monitors this program, but actually helps on the interagency, interjurisdictional corridor kinds of planning for bike lanes and models that are multi-city on the East Bay. I also would agree with the supervisor from San Francisco that I want to make sure that there's enough money for growth. And so I'd be very curious in how you see the split of the $11.4 million from existing system versus the new systems. About $12 million has been spent on the peninsula, including San Francisco, I think, over the last few years. And I want to just make sure that we also get adequate funding to make sure that the East Bay Corridor gets enough money to make it successful. I know that in to create the stations, just San Francisco's got 35 docking stations, but to create the stations in Oakland and to work with the different locations, whether it's the lake, the museum, some of our big employers, that takes a lot of staff work. So I want to make sure that we have enough and adequate staffing to develop the stations in Oakland, Emeryville, and Berkeley that makes it dense enough to be successful, because I think that's one of the things you can learn in San Francisco, where the stations are fairly dense, that there's a high usage.
Commissioner Giacobini?
I was just wondering, I'm hoping that with all of these programs that we're keeping in mind the people who have various levels of ability and, you know, and what accommodations might be needed for those folks. I'm wondering if you can tell me a little bit about what is happening in that regard.
Well, through the current program, there are educational classes that people can take for just basic bicycle skills, as well as encouragement of helmet use, and we can continue to do that as the system grows. We can work with the bike coalitions to get people more familiar with the rules of the road and how to ride and use not only these bikes, but how to act on the street.
If I could just follow up on I guess I was also wondering about people with disabilities in terms of that ability level, and wondering about the availability of cars and bikes with different accommodations or different ways of operating the vehicles.
So we're going to be working over the next few months to develop the all of these elements, especially the car sharing and the TDM programs, and that's something we can definitely look into. We brought this to the Policy Advisory Council, and we can use them as a sounding board for some of the ideas, and maybe we can talk about some things, Commissioner Giacobini, too. So we can, as we move forward, we consider everyone in our programs.
Thank you. I would appreciate that being kept on the burner.
Commissioner Bates.
Thank you very much. I, like Mayor Kwan, are very excited about the prospects of the bike sharing coming to Oakland and Berkeley and Emeryville, and we look forward to working with you. And my question, I have a series of things, but my question is on the planning itself. How long do you think that'll take, and will that be done in-house? Will you be using local planners that are on staff and augmenting those? How do you anticipate doing the initial planning for the bike sharing?
Well, we hope to have some consultant assistance to help with planning for stations, where they're going to go, and we'll assist the local agencies with that. So we'll be conducting a procurement shortly and hope to have someone on board late this year and to help with that additional planning.
Okay. Well, you're also looking at augmenting local city staff and to help on that end, to help plan the bike sharing?
We hope to offer some assistance to local agencies, either through MTC staff or through the operator contract or through the technical assistance.
Okay, I think it's important to do that. I'm not saying we should fund, you know, necessarily local staff, but I mean local city staff, but I think it's really important to make sure we do it right and plan it right, because that's obviously one of the keys to success. The other question I have relates to the transportation demand management. It indicates you have 5 cities. Are those cities already identified?
No, not yet. We haven't identified them yet. So
I'm incredibly interested in this, as you know, trying to get people more people in more cars. So how will that work and how will it roll out?
So over the next several months, we're going to work to create a program that engages the cities with that are interested and also have the dedicated staff, because as Sean mentioned, that's a key, and you've all mentioned it's a key to success, not just for bike share, but for all of our climate programs. For example, in your city, City of Berkeley, you've had dedicated staff, and that was one of the huge keys to the success of the Go Berkeley program. So those will be some of our considerations when we select the cities. But I think potentially it could be some of our priority development cities that are listed in Plan Bay Area, but we're going to work on that. So over the next several months.
So when do you think that we'll see the more information about how that will move forward?
Within the next 6 months.
Okay, thank you. And then I'm also very interested in the results of the project we've had. The MTC has funded, as well as the Air District has funded, the Go Berkeley project, where, you know, we have demand parking. We now have had an operation to do demand parking. We're making adjustments. We're making, I think, this month we're actually going to make some adjustments in changing some of the pricing. We also have city car shares placed all around town. We have bus passes. We have much better, sounds funny, but we have much better parking enforcement. We have license plate recognition, which is causing some people to change their habits about how they drive. And then lastly, we have the guaranteed ride home program, the Alameda County program. So we have a whole package of things. So I'm really interested in seeing whether this kind of approach, and it looks like we may have an opportunity to fold in some bike sharing too, you know, how that all comes together and have whether we actually see the reductions that we're hoping for. When do we think we'll see results?
So we're going to come back to you in fall, early to late, well, at fall sometime, with the results of our entire program, Cycle One program. So there'll be a full report for you to see the results of your program.
Good. Well, I think that this is I believe this is the right approach, to have a comprehensive approach, not just say ride share or not just, you know, car share or whatever, but having a comprehensive. And that's why this other program, you know, if we start adding to this menu bike share and you start adding, transportation demand management, I think you finally get the ingredients to make a huge difference. So thank you very much. I look forward to seeing those reports.
Okay, Commissioner Joe Piskoski, followed by Haggerty.
Joe Brzezinski for the 15 cities of Santa Clara County. Question on bike share. So, first of all, this is obviously an exciting program. Obviously, it's been very successful, particularly in San Francisco. And I want to follow up on Commissioner Wiener's comments related to how well it's been done in the city and how we utilize resources going forward. I guess the question for me is, in those numbers that you indicated, how close are they to the projections made prior to the initiation of the pilot program to the expectations? And then secondly, in those areas, in those pilot cities that you see the bike share as underutilized, are there some common characteristics that you've identified as to why that is occurring? And if so, then what are the strategies that are in place to either find a way to increase that ridership or to move those resources to areas that might be more appropriate to the use that we're seeing?
So one thing to keep in mind is that the system is really only 6 months old. It launched in August, so we don't even have a full year's worth of data. But from the numbers that we do have, San Francisco is exceeding the initial projections for the number of trips per bike per day, and some of the other peninsula cities are a little bit lower than what we projected. But again, it's a little early to say. Additionally, bike share has been implemented in cities that are more like San Francisco than they are like Redwood City and San Jose. So we need to give it a chance to work. And as part of, you know, looking at the existing system, we're going to be looking at, you know, what are the factors that contribute to the lower ridership. Is it station placement, density, marketing needs, et cetera?
If I might. Do you project a time frame wherein you will be able to make that analysis more appropriately than just with the 6-month startup? Because I would be very interested. This is a resource that can be very valuable for us in regional transportation, but I'd hate to see it underutilized in places that are not going to be as beneficial. And to, for example, the Oakland-Berkeley corridor coming online as soon as possible, I think it'd be a great idea. But for my purposes, you know, if the characteristics don't exist in a particular community or an area in our region, then I would rather see those resources used where they can be more beneficial to the characteristics or the demographics of the region and those communities. So, in terms of projection of time frame, do you see a time when you can come back to us with the analysis that you feel would be appropriate?
Commissioner, you know, I think we'd want at least a year, I would guess, under our belt. But as Sean mentioned, I'd like to expand on it. We are trying to do something, I think, relatively unique in terms of bike share around the world, and that is we're trying to do a regional program. And most of the other programs, in fact, I think all of the other programs, are center city-based. Now, the Bay Area has, you might say, 3 center cities, just for starters. But we also have a lot of other places where we might be able to pull off a regional model. But I think what we are seeing so far is some weakness in that model. Part of it, I think, has been staff-driven. And we just don't have the money to do this for all the cities who want to have bike share. We can help them get started, but they are going to need to sustain the program. I think in San Francisco, the business model of attracting private investment into the system is probably going to work. That may not work everywhere, but in the East Bay, you've got a number of business parks who probably wouldn't mind having their name branded on some bikes and expand the program that way. But I think we've also just got to be realistic that this is a pilot, and sometimes in pilots, some things work well and some things don't, and you need to learn, you know, the hard lesson as well as the easy one. So I don't think we're there yet, but I think you're raising the central concern that we share, which is that we don't try to bust our pick in a place where it's not going to work. But, for example, in San Jose, where I think we're underperforming right now, I think we've got to figure out a way to make that work. It's the largest city in the region, in the northern part of the state. It's not like San Francisco in a lot of ways, but in my view, there's no reason it shouldn't be successful there. You've got better weather, and you don't have the terrain. And I think the drivers are a little left more sensible in San Jose, if I could say so myself. So we've got to figure out where we can make it work and double down there. And I think getting back to Commissioner Wiener's question, you know, I think we see the role of public investment as building sort of a base upon which you can build with private and other strategies more success. And we've got to have a strong base, I think, in the 3 center cities at least to make the regional model work.
If I might just follow up on that, Steve, I appreciate that. I think that's exactly where we need to focus. And I do think there should be some responsibility taken down in the South Bay to make the San Jose project work, because it should work. There's no reason that I can see that it shouldn't, but I'm aware of the underutilization. And so perhaps that's for an offline conversation, but how can we work together to reinforce that? Because I think that it would be really a shame not to somehow make the San Jose component actually viable when all of the other demographics of it should be in place. So with that, I will take that back to our folks to start some discussion on that.
Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, being a big supporter of the bike share program, I first cut my teeth on this in a different country when I was traveling with MTC on Buy America bonds and saw these bikes out there on racks and thought that was really cool. So I came back to the Air District and started pushing it there. You know, I don't think the deployment of the bicycles really is
all that big a deal. And I think we've kind of talked about this a little bit. It really gets down to how do we keep them maintained? How do we keep the system operating? And I know it requires, as we've said several times today, that it requires the private sector to be involved. And, you know, I was just sitting here thinking, I know the Air District had somebody on the hook at one time, and I don't know if we lost him or not. He's still working with him, I think, looking at Damien. Or maybe he's just not ready to say. But it seems to me that maybe something we could do is similar to what we did, not just us, but San Francisco's done it. I don't know how they did it, but we did it. We hired somebody to go out to get naming rights on O.co, the facility. And it seems to me that if we are kind of stuck as a public agency and trying to find sponsors on how to keep maintaining these, we might want to talk to somebody that could go out and work with major firms for a fee to find us a sponsor that would be willing to take either the entire thing or maybe just the East Bay, then the West Bay, or whatever, however it works. But it seems to me that if it's really too hard for us as a public agency to get our arms around, we might want to look to the private sector to help us find a sponsor.
Okay. Commissioner Campos.
Thank you. Well, I think that, you know, the public-private partnerships are things that you have to approach very carefully. I don't know if I want to be riding around in my Chevron bike. I think you have to be very careful in a place like San Francisco. I think that there might be a different perspective on something like that. I do want to know more, though, about the marketing and the use within monolingual speaking communities. I'm wondering if you can speak to that.
So, yes, we are, just for the equity issue in general, we're definitely concerned about that, and we're looking into that. The city of Boston has actually launched a program for low-income riders, and it is quite successful. They have approximately 900 members currently after approximately a year in operation. They work with local agencies to identify the participants, and what they found is that these riders have the same ridership patterns as everyone else, and there are more women riding. And so it's a very successful program, and we will definitely look into that and definitely focus on that. As far as the marketing, we're just at the beginning. We had very few marketing dollars dedicated during the pilot program, of which we're still in that pilot program. So we hope to dedicate more funds to marketing, and we will definitely have a component for monolingual speaking communities.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I know that it's a lot of work that goes into it. I would really encourage you to move expeditiously on that, because until you start doing that, you're leaving out a pretty big segment of the population, especially in the Bay Area. I mean, they're paying taxes. They should be benefiting from this program as well. So I think the sooner we do that, the better. Thank you.
Okay. Any other commissioners? Okay, we got a number of public speakers. First being Jim Allison. He will be followed by Damien.
Hello, my name is Jim Allison. I'm manager of planning for the Capital Corridor Joint Powers Authority. We have the benefit of operating both in the Bay Area and also in the Sacramento region. And if you will, we are a bridge into the mega region that's been discussed here. We are working very closely with the Sacramento region, who is in some ways further along than the Bay Area on a bike share program, but in other ways behind. And I think there's an opportunity to link the Bay Area efforts, not to complicate things are regionally enough already, but to look at a more mega regional approach. The Sacramento area is open to looking at a system where the public would have the same FOB or the same interoperability between the systems. And this is really an important factor for our riders on the Capital Corridor who do travel within the mega region. Bicycling access to our trains right now is in excess of 11% mode of access. Many of those bikes are on our trains, and we simply, like you've probably heard with the Caltrain situation, we don't have enough storage on the train system to handle it. Bicycling and train travel is such a powerful marriage together that the advent of bike sharing in these communities where the density matters is really a very compelling idea for a lot of people to give them a lot of choice about their mode of access. And I think it starts to enhance the transit mode of access combined with the bike share mode of access. It gives people many choices. So we strongly support the moves that have been involved here to reimagine, if you will, the Bay Area bike share system. And we would encourage blending of the systems across the Northern California mega region. The representatives we are working with in Sacramento, we are financially supporting the capital effort and the planning efforts there. They are encouraged to come down here to work together to, if you will, create that common platform. So thank you.
Thank you. Damien, followed by Dave Campbell.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm very happy to be here today on behalf of the Bay Area Air Quality Management District to speak in favor of the staff recommendation. The Air District is excited by the possibility of a $14.7 million program to support bicycle sharing and electric vehicles in the region. This type of joint program and joint administration expands the partnership between the Bay Area Air Quality Management District and MTC, and it helps us to push forward our joint agenda to reduce criteria pollution, improve public health, and to reduce greenhouse gases. As the agency who currently leads the bicycle sharing program, we've obviously been very happy with its success. I would also like to acknowledge Director Haggerty, who was the chair of our Mobile Source Committee, who really pushed us to get this program up and running and launched in this region. However, we, like other folks, as we approached this program, saw it as a hardware kind of program, but we've come to realize that this really is a program that has a huge, or could have a huge impact on transit and transportation in the region. As we consider that, we recognize that there's a nexus there for us. Our core mission is something quite different. So we saw the proposal that staff here have to put MTC in the lead for this program as being one that really furthers the strategic planning for transit in the region and helps us to concentrate on the things that we're good at. You know, hardware, vehicle, technology, innovation. If you want proof of that, you can go to the Port of Auckland and you can see the thousands of trucks that we've replaced there and ships plugging into hardware on the shoreline. That means that they don't emit harmful diesel particulates. So as you consider this request today, we want you to take that into consideration. And the other thing that we want to stress today is we're not leaving you. We're going to be your partners in this, and we look forward to working together on expanding the bicycle sharing program throughout the region, not just in the communities that we currently have and the ones that you've identified today.
Thank you
very much.
Dave Campbell will be followed by Iris Starr.
Dave Campbell, Advocacy Director with Bike East Bay, formerly East Bay Bicycle Coalition, here to speak in support of the staff recommendation to expand bike share, and we're particularly delighted to see that the East Bay scores well on the potential success for bike share expansion in the Bay Area. And I know that the urban core of the Bay Area is certainly getting ready for bike share. We definitely support bike share as a regional program, working with our rail systems and getting it into cities even further out, like Fremont and the Tri-Valley or Central Contra Costa County, West Contra Costa County as well. And integrating it up to Sacramento makes total sense as well. But it's really important that the expansion be successful. And on that, I want to address the staffing issue and thank Director Heminger for your comments and your insight that you're mindful that we don't want to give local staff who have full-time jobs even more work to do than they already doing. And along those lines, the critical point I want you to keep in mind is, as we work through this system, is for bike share to be successful, not only do we need a great bike share system, we need great facilities on the streets so that people can ride safely with these nice, bright, shiny new bikes. And particularly in the urban core, Mayor Kwan, your staff, and Mayor Bates, your staff, they're working their butts off to get our streets more safe for bicycling, and that's great. If we ask them to divert staff resources from that to design a bike share system, then we're we're hurting the potential success of the system. So getting money to local cities for staff and having MTC have more staff to design the bike share system so that the experts at the local city level can design the facilities for people to ride is the key formula for success. I think that's what New York has shown. That's what Chicago has shown. Their systems are very successful, and they're putting in great facilities on the street. We're delighted to have them in town this weekend as part of the 9th Cities Recycling Roadshow coming to Oakland April 10th and 11th. Hope you'll join us. Bye.
Thank you. Iris? Iris will be followed by Clarissa. Transform.
Hi, I'm Iris Starr with the City of Oakland staff. We really appreciate the work that's been done to date with staff from MTC, and we appreciate the partnership in working on this. Preliminarily, it looks like the allocation of capital for East Bay stations and bikes may be adequate. However, we're very concerned about the operations allocation for the East Bay. Several of the elements that have been mentioned here, are concerning. When we speak in the opening paragraph about the recommendation, it reads to us as if a portion, an unknown portion of the $8.7 million is going to be going to continuation of the West Bay program, and there's no specific allocation as of yet. But we're aware that previous conversations in this body have indicated that the entire 8.7 would go to the East Bay program. And we've talked with staff, and we're assured that in future grant applications, the East Bay can or will receive additional monies. However, this is not money in hand, and we're not guaranteed to get these additional sources. So, particularly if the San Francisco region, as I understand it, needs additional money for operations, we'd like to request that those kinds of monies be sought in these different funding pots and leave the existing proposal for $8.7 million in the East Bay, as has been discussed. Thank you.
Thank you. Clarissa?
Good morning,
Followed by Robert Rasburn.
Good morning. My name is Clarissa Cobbinsagen. I am a community planner with Transform. Today, I was thinking about what to say right now, I thought about my commute. You know, I live 2.2 miles from downtown Oakland, and I'm often scrambling around trying to figure out how am I going to get to work, often waiting for the bus a little bit longer than I expect, or trying to run to whatever corner will get me to an merry-go-round to the BART station. There are great green lanes to MacArthur, but when I get there, is there a place for my bike? Today there actually was, and I was really grateful. I want to say that bike share is an effective, affordable last-mile solution. I echo Supervisor Campos's comment that it needs to be taken with an eye to equity and to really encourage. I encourage you to, as staff develops into the East Bay, that you keep an eye for what segment of the population can also benefit and extend that benefit to them. We're glad at Transform that this is being extended to the East Bay. 750 bikes is great. We hope that there will be more, and would like to encourage MTC to allocate funds for staffing of the success of this program. All around the table, we've heard that local staff has been kind of pulled upon to help to run the program in San Francisco, et cetera, and would love for you to dedicate adequate resources to the success of a regional program, not just kind of the places where they're successful. Thank you.
Okay. Robert?
Good morning, Commissioners. Robert Rayburn, BART Director for Alameda and parts of Oakland. As well, I'm on the governing board for the Capital Corridor. You've already heard Jim Allison comment about our stations in Sacramento and Davis will soon have bike share. And The summary of my comments fit into one word, integration. We want to see that there be one FOB available to the customers throughout Northern California so that they can depend upon this service when they go to Sacramento as well as within the Bay Area region. So please include that, push that nudge to see that we do things right here and not create a fractionalized system. Thank you.
Okay. Richard Hedge. Rich. Did he leave? Okay. Marty. Partridge.
I'm sure I'm the only Marty here. Marty Martinez with the Safe Routes to School National Partnership. Thank you so much. Just a couple quick points. I wasn't able to comment earlier, but thank you for supporting the regional guidelines around the state active transportation program. My organization worked hard on those and worked hard with MTC staff to educate a lot of folks in the Bay Area about that program and ways to effectively apply for it. So strongly support the hard work that's been done on that. In terms of the Climate Initiatives Program, just want to put a quick shout-out, again, for the strong support the commissioners and the NMTC staff have shown for the Safe Routes to School program within that. So thank you so much for that. And we support the expansion of regional bike share throughout the region, eventually right now to the East Bay, to meet our climate change, health, safety, and transportation needs. We think it's logical for MTC to have a larger role in this because of the other great active transportation work that MTC has been doing. But I would like to echo some of the concerns that have been raised around staffing, and we really support additional resources to give the very response. MTC staff has been extraordinarily responsive to my organization and to our stakeholders in Safe Routes to School, and really appreciate all their hard work on numerous issues and think they need some additional support to take on a larger role and do just as good a job there. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Roland LeBron.
Thanks again. My name is Roland LeBron. I'm from San Jose. I really appreciate the conversation the commissioners had. With regards to Commissioner Fuzinski's comment, I think the issue in San Jose, it's a lot warmer down there, and not everybody has got access to a shower when you get to your destination. So I really appreciate what San Francisco is doing with the 1,000 parking spaces for car sharing. But the issue with conventional car sharing is that you take the car, you do whatever you do for a number of hours, eventually you have to return the car when you pick it up. So what I would like to see is electric car sharing, similar to Car2Go in San Diego, whereby you got your mobile app and you look for any car within your immediate vicinity with sufficient level of charge. You approach the car with your Clipper card. You open the car, you get in, you drive to your destination, it costs about 15 cents a minute, and you just dump the car. It basically works exactly like bike sharing. And basically, this is what I'm looking for. When I'm done, just clip her out, I'm done, and I know exactly how much I'm going to get charged. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we have Heath Maddox, followed by Mark Moretzky.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Heath Maddox. I'm the program manager for bicycle sharing at the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency. First, I'd just like to take the opportunity to really give thanks to the Air District and for their strong leadership over the last several years getting this program up and running. They've done a tremendous job, and we are thankful. I also just want to voice my support for the staff recommendation to commit the $7.2 million in CMAQ funding to bike sharing and to apply for the active transportation program for additional funding. I just want to append this my support for the recommendation with three additional recommendations. First, we in San Francisco would like to see, if the MTA would like to see that moving forward, that we ensure or that you ensure flexibility of use for these funds so that they can be used for operations and maintenance of the existing system, which is still in its infancy, and that can also be used for preliminary engineering for expansion within the existing and new service areas where it makes sense. And thirdly, also for additional capital equipment purchase. The second recommendation we have is to ensure that whatever expansion we see or whatever expansion we fund is truly demand responsive. And I've been encouraged by the discussion here today. That seems to be very much consensus around that. And to sort of underscore Director Heminger's comments, clearly we should be doubling down where it makes the most sense and where it's proven successful. One of the keys to success in bike sharing, as we've all heard today, is density. The other key is really a critical mass, and that in San Francisco, we're just getting started with 350 and hope to move to 500 bikes soon, but that really is just the start of things. Our suitability analysis in San Francisco shows that fully 25% of the city is most suitable.
Thank you.
And the last recommendation I have is that
thank you.
To ensure adequate staffing levels, and I've seen that today. I could many times, so thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you. Mark Moretzky.
Hi, my name is Mark. I'm a Bay Area lifelong resident. I also work at Social Bicycles, which is a bike-sharing technology supplier. We have 20 projects, two of which are in the Bay Area, one of which is actually here in the East Bay. We're ecstatic about the Bay Area's commitment to bike share. Like all of you, I truly want to see a really successful program here. I want to see something that will weave itself into the urban fabric of our transportation choices, because that's what will lead to a well-connected, livable, and safe community. We're always happy to see funding allocated toward bike share, but in this particular case, I as a resident and my company as a whole are deeply concerned that $9 million is about to be given to a wholly undefined solution. For those of you who don't know, the company that actually supplies the bicycles has entered bankruptcy. So it is unclear who will purchase the company and when and if ever they will again provide bicycles for bike sharing. The supply chain of their previously established programs has grinded to a halt. The cities that I speak to on a daily basis have told me that they are taking pause to re-examine their situation in the bike share industry. I believe it would be ethical and smart for the committee to reassess the entire situation right now in the bike sharing industry, particularly in regards to equipment purchase and allocation. Right now is the time to take a step back and understand our industry a little bit better. It's a very complex industry. It's really small. It changes really quickly. Only 2 years ago, the procurement for the pilot occurred, but in those 2 years, the entire industry has been turned over on its head. There are many new options for affordable technologies, not just our company, many, many other companies. And so I think it would be really useful for the committee to examine those possibilities, as they would probably be more suitable for the East Bay. There's been a lot of talk about the success of the Bay Area Bike Share Program, which is very strange because actually their ridership levels have been extremely low. Compared on a per bike basis per day, they have not performed very well. Other programs would enable the system to actually expand considerably. So we ask that you explore that. Oh, and also interoperability,
Thank
which
you.
Was mentioned by a lot of people.
Thank you.
New systems enable that, actually.
Next, Shifra De Benedictus Kestner, and I apologize if I mispronounced that.
You actually did it very well. Hi, I'm Shifra. I'm from Downtown Berkeley Association, and we just wanted to speak in favor of the bike share program. Expanding it, especially to Berkeley. We're right now experiencing the Go Berkeley parking changes, and so we deal with parking and bike sharing as together in order to affect some mode changes. And we've had some changes with Go Berkeley, but ultimately we just don't have enough parking spots and garages. And so to really see the effects of that program, we really need to have some mode changes to transit and to bike, and I think bike sharing is really going to help with that. So I want to speak in support of getting extra staff to help with that, because the Go Berkeley staff that we've gotten is amazing, and they're wonderful experts in their fields. And so we feel that we would love to have the dedication of more staff to help us have a successful bike share program. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And the final speaker card is Ken Bukowski.
Hello, Commissioners. I'm a member of the Emeryville BPAC and certainly support adding Emeryville to the mix. One of the things you may want to consider is expanding the bike racks on buses, or how can we get bikes, more bikes on buses, because a lot of times you wait for the bus and it shows up and the rack's full. I'm happy to see that AC Transit's been adding some racks with three bikes. Can we do one with four bikes? I think that's something that needs to be looked at. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Seeing no more speaker cards. Oh.
I have one more comment.
apparently I got lost. Hi, I'm Kit Hodge from the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition. Just want to make three quick points about the bike share program. First, I want to reiterate the tremendous popularity of bike sharing in San Francisco right now. We hear every day from people who want to see the program expanded even further from all points in the city. Tremendous interest. Second is to reiterate, again, the need for additional staffing at the MTC to make sure this program succeeds. Comparable systems around the country and world have about 5 to 6 people staffing a program of this size, so that should be a benchmark around which we look for future staffing. And third, to respond to the comment from Commissioner Campos, we take the equity of the system very seriously, and it's something that we definitely agree that should be a priority going forward. We're actually working with the SFCTA on a meeting with local agencies representing different communities to sort of brainstorm ideas on how to make sure that the system going forward becomes more equitable. We'd love to expand that conversation, to continue it at the regional level as well, to make sure that we truly are serving everyone in San Francisco, but also everyone in the region. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. That was the last speaker card. I'm bringing it back to the commission. Mayor Kwan.
So thank you for all the speakers who came and who've been following this. So I just want to underscore 2 points and would like an answer to my question that I asked earlier. What proportion of the funding do we expect to go to the new programs versus the existing programs? And do we have an estimate of what the mix of the $11 million are? And then secondly, I want to underscore 2 points. As the Capital Rail and the BART director raised, the issue of bike parking beyond bike share to make that final mile or to make it easier for people not to have to take bus or drive to BART stations in very dense cities like Berkeley and Oakland. It's broader than bike sharing, so that we're really looking at the whole bike systems, and I again want to underscore that we need to have some money. Last year there was some money left over, and San Francisco wanted it and I wanted it for East Bay planning, but we really do need to have more staffing and more time to do the planning if we're going to be competitive for the grants in the fall. And so I'm still asking for either more staff or consultants to be working with the East Bay Corridor people, and that's beyond the three cities, but to make sure that we are planning ahead, because I think it's one of the fastest ways to get some cars out of BART stations and off the road in dense cities like my own. So planning money beyond and looking at a broader system of using bikes beyond just the bike share program. And clearly the bike share program can be a center part in some areas, but just simple things like better bike parking and more contiguous bike lanes between East Bay cities will do, I think, just as much to get more people out of their cars and onto bikes in the East Bay.
Commissioner Wynn.
Can I get a question on the percentage answer on the percentage you're looking at or thinking about?
Well, let me try to address both points. On the percentage, we really don't have a number for you right now. What we have is a need, I think, to continue some level of operating funding for the existing system, and clearly a need to expand that system. And I'm sure the latter will command a lot more money than the former. But I'd rather do a little more thinking before we commit to some particular breakdown. And obviously we'll be working with all the affected parties to make sure that we strategize correctly. As was indicated, we've got some opportunities to apply for other money, and we got to make sure we apply for things that they want to fund. So we need to be strategic about it. On the second point, Commissioner, I do believe there's sort of been a missing player at the table here today, and that's the congestion management agencies, whom we give a lot of planning money to. Frankly, I think the Alameda County Transportation Commission ought to be responsive to the issue that you're raising. And I think that's the right scale. I'm not sure it's the proper role for the commission to be doing that kind of work in all 9 counties when we have county-level agencies that can do it and that we fund to do it. So that, I think, is probably the first conversation we ought to have for your concern about a greater level of planning on non-bike share improvements, is to talk to the Alameda folks about what they can do to help.
It is a multiple county issue. We go to Richmond. Our borders could go from
there. Yes, and I will tell you that the CMAs have worked together in the past on some of the bridge projects we've worked on. We've had CMAs on either side of a body of water work together, so they can do it just as well as we in the Air District can do it.
Okay, Commissioner Weiner, followed by Caples.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to just reiterate what I said at the beginning when I was advocating for making sure that we're also building out in San Francisco the importance of getting this built out in the East Bay as well, and also in other parts of the region. And really, for bike share to succeed, for example, in San Francisco, it has to succeed in the East Bay. The gentleman who talked about the connection between bike share and rail, I think that was spot on, because, you know, if you're hopping on, if you're commuting from San Francisco to the East Bay, and I want people to be able to, you know, take bike share to BART and then hop on BART and then take bike share from there. And the same with the peninsula with some of the Caltrain stations. So I think this is not about some sort of regional funding food fight about who can grab the most money. I think we need to grow this in a lot of different parts of the region, because it will help all of us to have it be strong in other parts of the region as well.
Commissioner Campos, followed by Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and again, thank you to staff for the presentation. And I guess what I would simply want to emphasize is I think that the equity issue is one that is a real concern for me. I actually wish that those issues had been more part of the early consideration and not at this stage in the pilot, though I understand the limitations. Certainly the piece involving the disabled community is something that I think we need to move quickly on. And I don't necessarily define success by just the number of people who use this, because I think that success is also defined by who is left out of it. And I don't think that you can go to neighborhoods like the Mission if you leave out certain communities, and even if you have the numbers say that you're being successful, and likewise with other parts of San Francisco and other parts of the region. So I am worried about that, and I think that something that's missing besides the CMAs is the community involvement. Because in these neighborhoods and these communities, you're going to have to work with a lot of organizations that have the relationships and the trust of the community, if you will, for something like this to be successful. Thank you.
Commissioner Bates.
Thank you very much. So just very briefly, I appreciate that we're underway with this project, and I really think it's going to be great. So I just was wondering about some forward thinking, like the connectivity issue. Is that something we're looking at? And the other question is, I don't know if this is possible or feasible, but it seems like it's certainly going to happen in the future, which is that people can go online and reserve a bike share so that when they get there, they know they got a bike share available to them. Something similar to what car shares do now, where you can reserve it, you know, and you have it like a window when you got to exercise that time. I don't know if we're thinking about that or not, but it's something that we ought to think about. Maybe we can't do it now, but we ought to put the infrastructure in place if we can, so in the future we can phase that in, because I think that will happen at some point in the future. And then just a general comment. First of all, I really appreciate this program, and I want to thank staff. You know, and I'm happy to move the recommendation, but this is the climate program, and this is one of this district, this Metropolitan Commission has established a really aggressive climate program, and I really thank the staff for putting this in place. It hasn't been, how many years? That's our third year or so, something like that? Our third year? One of the sort of leading the nation in trying to think about these issues and provide the leadership for other transportation commissions. So I appreciate the work of the staff on this.
Was that a motion?
Yes, that's a motion. I move the recommendations that we refer the Climate Action Program 17.1 Milliwatt as recommended. How's that?
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you. We'll now move to our next item on the agenda, which is Part B. And this is a priority conservation area program update and programming revision. This will be presented by Craig.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Craig Goldblatt, and I'm with the Programming and Allocations Group. The commission established the Priority Conservation Area Grant Program in May 2012, and the commission subsequently adopted the program framework establishing the goals and project criteria in February 2013. The goal of the PCA grant program is to support Plan Bay Area by preserving and enhancing the natural, economic, and social value of rural lands in the Bay Area. PCAs comprise over 100 regionally significant open spaces, and this is designated by ABAG. The $10 million Priority Conservation Area Program has two components. Firstly, $5 million is for the North Bay counties, and that amount was split equally among the CMAs at $1.25 million per county. Program guidelines call for projects and grants were administered by each congestion management agency, and the projects that they selected and they forwarded to us for approval are in Attachment A to the staff evaluation. The second piece of this program, which I refer to as the regional program, is $5 million. That went to the remaining counties. This funding pot is administered by the State Coastal Conservancy, a state agency in cooperation with ABAG and MTC. The Conservancy additionally brought roughly $7.5 million of their own state bond funds to the table to augment this program. ABAG administers a priority conservation area planning program in this regional partnership. Present today are Amy Hutzel, Program Manager of the State Coastal Conservancy, and Laura Thompson of ABAG to answer any questions if needed. For the regional program, projects were required to be located in a PCA, carry regional significance, and provide a 3-to-1 local match, among other criteria. Other factors were considered to further evaluate the viability and quality of the candidate projects. Eligible projects protect or enhance resource areas or habitats, provide or enhance bicycle and pedestrian access to open space parkland resources, or support the agricultural economy of the region. The Conservancy, MTC, and ABAC staff held two workshops for interested regional program applicants. Then there was a two-step application process. Firstly, applicants submitted a brief letter of interest that was evaluated by the selection panel. 35 letters were received, requesting a total of $15 million. Then a subset of these projects were invited to submit a full application, depending on how well they aligned with the program criteria. And those were 16 projects totaling roughly $10 million. The Conservancy's grant recommendations include a program of 13 projects, of which 7 would receive MTC's federal funding, 4 would receive Conservancy state bond dollars, and 2 projects would receive grant funds from both MTC and the Conservancy. Attachment B shows all the applications received and those that are recommended for grant funding. The Coastal Conservancy Board approved the overall regional PCA grant program recommendations at its last meeting on March 27, 2014. The action requested today is for the Commission to approve the regional PCA grant program as a whole and specifically approve the federal funding that MTC has made available and to approve 2 projects in Napa and 2 projects in Marin for the North Bay program. This will be followed up with a TIP amendment for the Commission's approval in May. Lastly, 5 non-transportation land easement acquisition projects in the program require fund exchanges with projects that are eligible for federal funding. Staff will return to the committee for approval of the substitute projects once decisions are made and agreements are made. Unfortunately, one of these projects in your handout, the Loma Mar Acquisition Project in San Mateo County yesterday withdrew their application due to the difficulties in finding a substitute project. So that project will be removed from the program. Staff will return to the committee with further funding recommendations after consulting with the State Coastal Conservancy. In conclusion, staff recommends that the committee refer resolution 4035 revised to the commission for approval.
Okay, commissioners, questions, comments?
Clarification on those projects that didn't make the cut?
Yes.
There are a number of Santa Clara County projects on that part of the list, and I'm not questioning the criteria or the evaluation process, but is there going to be some feedback that each of these projects receives that allows the maker of the motion, so to speak, to reevaluate for future reference? Because the number kind of strikes me as very extensive, and I'm curious what is the issue or what were the issues that were not addressed when the proposals were made?
Sure, I'd be happy to go through those. Generally, the evaluation panel tended to look at those projects that were regionally significant and, you know, led to sustainable projects. And just in terms of the Santa Clara projects, one of the projects, the deliverables were too general, and it was more a planning effort, and is generally some of the planning, smaller planning cities weren't terribly competitive.
All right, I'm not really interested in hearing each of the evaluations.
Okay.
I'm saying some forwarding to the individuals who made the proposals so that they can understand where their proposal was off base for a future.
Commissioner, we're happy to do that.
Okay.
But I would like to make a broader point, perhaps, and that is that in terms of the requests that we got initially, about 14% of the money requested was from Santa Clara County. So there is that old saying, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Correct.
And I think, you know, a county with 25% of the population asking for 14% of the money is pretty unusual.
Actually, pretty reasonable to me.
Well, that's another way of looking at it. But I think what we're seeing here, obviously, is a fairly competitive program as well. And so I think we'd like to work with interest in the Valley to make sure that we get a lot of competitive projects to choose from and not have a relatively small list to start with, because I think that does put you a little bit behind the eight ball.
Sure, and my concern mostly is that we be perhaps more strategic in what we ask for rather than doing this kind of pie-in-the-sky orientation. So it's more for clarification for the next round is what I'm looking at.
Appreciate the interest.
Okay.
Sorry. I just wanted to mention that in your jurisdiction, the Marshall Cottle Park Perimeter Trail Project did rate very favorably, but the county parks group did not resubmit for an proposal, even though we requested it.
Yes, just wanted to, since I seem to be the only person from the four North Bay counties present here today, just more pleased to see that my colleagues in Napa and Marin have completed our part of the process. It's more a question of what happens now that we're moving towards final action on all of these particular applications. My understanding when this process was initiated was that it was a pilot program and that there would be an examination of each of these different methods or types of application to see what would be best suited for action in the future, because as we know, the priority conservation action part of Plan Bay Area is an extremely important part that balances against the priority development areas, preserving these open spaces. And so I just wondered if you had given any thought to the timing of evaluation in these projects and how that will be handled. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
What I think this was adopted as part of the Cycle 2 One Bay Area grant program, and we will start discussing that next cycle probably next year. And then we're going to be evaluating the different components and have discussions, you know, on what funding levels and what features of these programs we might want to continue with or modify in the future. So we will be coming back to you.
Commissioner Tessier?
Just out of curiosity, and maybe you've already answered this, the fact that the Lomamore project withdrew yesterday, those dollars there that are available now for this cycle
that's
to be reevaluated,
correct.
And would it go on a regional level to look at it, or would those dollars go back into San Mateo County?
I think this was a regionally competitive program, and we have to have discussions with conservancy staff that in terms of other projects that are in the mix here that didn't perhaps get the full grant that they requested.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be coming back to you, but nothing was sub-allocated to counties. It was a regionally competitive program.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure you take a hard look at San Mateo County, but no pressure.
I think you should keep your eye out for Commissioner Pazinski. That's what I would do.
Commissioner Bates?
Yeah, if we're ready, I'm happy to move the recommendation.
I want to
thank the staff for the work they've done. I'm very appreciative of what they've done and put this together with the Conservancy, and I think it's a good program, so I'm happy to move it.
Second. Okay, there's a motion and a second to approve the recommendation before us. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. The next item on our agenda today is the Transportation Commission update. And Kenneth?
Thank you, Commissioners. I will be brief. The CTC did meet in March last month and adopted the 2014 STIP. That provided about $140 million in new funding for our region. And also, CTC adopted the Active Transportation Program statewide guidelines. There's about $180 million statewide up for competition. The applications are due to CTC and Caltrans by May 21st. So those are the two highlights. Happy to answer any other questions you may have.
Any questions, comments? Thank you. Okay, next item is public comment. I don't have any speaker cards. Is there any member of the public wishing to address the committee? Seeing none?
I have so since this is Alex Bachelman's first meeting, does she get to throw out the first ball, or does she get to, is there anything? She has to make a speech or something?
It's good to be here, and I'm glad to be working with you in this new capacity, and I will try to live up to Ann's the big shoes that I have to try to walk in now.
Thank you. Welcome aboard. Okay. There being no other business before us, we stand adjourned.